Today, we'd like to see the title, Outward Righteousness, in Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. We suggest three questions. Number one, what are the rules of a sort applying to our Christian life? Question one, what are the rules of a sort applying to our Christian life? In verse 13. Question two, what does it mean that you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden? In verse 14. Question 2, what does it mean that you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden? In verse 14. The last question 3, would you describe the inward righteous Christian life against the outward righteousness? Question 3, would you describe the inward righteous Christian life against the outward righteousness? Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. Right here, salt talks about the seasons. So Job chapter 6, verse 6, talks about the seasons. Can favorite food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? When we eat the white of an egg, we put salt on that for seasoning, for tasteless. So salt, the first function is tasteless. Second function is preservative, because against rottenness. At that time, there was no refrigerators. So we can see the Samson case, Judges chapter 16, verses 17 through 22. Samson, ministered against the Philistines. No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. God commanded to Samson, Samson kept his hair not to be cut at all, because God ordained Samson to protect the Israelites from Philistines' attack. But Samson reveals his secret to Delilah. So therefore, the Lord had departed from Samson. So he lost the example the Israelites. He lost like a preservative function. Preservative function is against righteousness. Salt is preservativeness against rottenness. But Samson is an example. He lost his preservative against rottenness because he revealed his secret to Delilah. So therefore, the Bible says, the Lord had departed from Samson. Then Philistines took Samson and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Philistines bound Samson with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. So also Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, also salt is a function. If you eat the salt, you would be thirsty for water. So Bible, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, Jesus talks about you are the salt of the earth. According to the Bible, we can see three functions. So, the first function, preservative against rottenness, or preservative against putrefying. The number two, the salt is a function for seasoning or tastefulness. The last one, shorter, causes thirstiness. So therefore, the salt can be applied to our Christian life. First of all, we add salt, we should influence to prevent rottenness of the world. Second, our life should be useful to the world, like a tasteful food, a seasoning function, useful life. Then we are salt. Therefore, let people to thirst for righteousness. Let people to thirst for righteousness. So the salt is a function, three of them, preservative against rottenness, tastefulness, and thirstiness. So likewise, Christian, we should be preservative against rotten world. The second is tastefulness. We should be useful life to the world. The last one, thirstiness. So we should let people to thirst for righteousness, for Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. Light naturally to shine others. The light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus gave an example, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, which meaning can be shown to everybody, because like a light, nor do they light a lamp put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Light's primary purpose gives light to all people in the house. That's light. Therefore, we as Christians are light. We should give light to all people. Jesus also said, John chapter 8, verse 12 said, Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. Who said? Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me. So we follow Jesus Christ, like all Christians, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ is light. We are following Jesus Christ. We are bringing Jesus' light to the world. So John chapter 8, verse 12. So we are light. We should be example to the world. We should give light to all the people in the dark world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So people can see your light, your goodness, through your behavior, your good behavior. Therefore, right here, Jesus says, but they are seeing your good works. They are not glorifying you, but God the Father in heaven. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 11 through 13. We can see Peter and John healed the born lame man. That time, the healed lame man and other people first attempted to glorify Peter and John. Then the Peter immediately pointed out to the Lord Jesus Christ. The chapter 3, verse 11 through 13, book of Acts said, now as the lame man who was healed completely held on to Peter and John, All the people ran together to them. To them meaning Peter and John. Because they saw Peter and John likely healed the born lame man to be complete. But actually, God used Peter and John as instruments. Who healed the born lame man? Actually, God healed the born lame man. But unfortunately, people only saw Peter and John. They couldn't see God. God is invisible. So all the people ran together to Peter and John in the porch, which is called Solomon's Temple porch, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Peter said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intentionally at us?" At us who are Peter and John. "As if by our own power or godlessness, we had made this man, this born lame man work. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." So Peter and John, Peter immediately pointed out God the Father. Because God the Father who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ crucified from the dead. So, right here, that's the same thing. Jesus said, you know, today, you are salt. Because salt in the first function are preservative against the rottenness. So you are also preservative against the rotten world. Second, salt function is a seasoning for tastefulness. So you are, should be useful to the world, to the rotten world, to the needy world. The number three, you are salt. Thirstiness. So, because of you, let people thirst for righteousness, thirst for Jesus Christ. That's salt. Right now, so you are light, so you should give light to the darkened world. Then, the people can see your goodness, good works. Then they glorify God the Father, not you. "Then do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill." Right here, law is defined as the standard to control your behavior. That's called the law. In this context, law means the word of God, God's word. God's word, we can see the Bible, the Romans chapter 7, verse 12 says, "Therefore, the law is holy." Why the law is holy? This law is the word of God. Because the law is the word of God. Law defined as a rule or a regulation to control your action. But that rule is the word of God. Not like a secular traffic law, no such thing. That's the word of God. Because God is holy, therefore the word of God is holy. That law is the word of God is holy. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandments holy and just and good. Commandment is God's commandment. So therefore, God's commandment also holy. Romans chapter 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Because God is not imperfect at all. Because God is a perfect God. So the law of the Lord, God is perfect. Therefore, the law of the God is also perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the foolish. So Psalm chapter 19 verse 7, the law of God is perfect, converting your soul, and the testimony of God is sure, making wise the foolish man. Romans chapter 7 verses 5 through 7, but what's the problem in the Lord? The law of God, or the law of the Lord, is holy. The law of the Lord per se, or by itself, is never wrong, but holy. The problem is to us, to human beings. For when we were in the flesh meaning unbelief status, when we didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then meaning in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Because we are sinners, therefore we cannot keep the law of God perfectly. So the problem, we are inability to keep the law of God. Not the law itself problem at all, because the law is the law of God. The law of God is the word of God. God is holy, therefore the law is holy. But now we have been delivered from the law of God, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So we could not serve the literal application of the law, but by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person of God. So the Holy Spirit is working through me, through you, because of your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are already given the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Law itself never sin. Law is holy. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the Lord had said, you shall not covet. So basically, disciple talks about the law is holy, the problem is to us. Because we are sinners, we are in flesh. We could not keep the law perfectly. The problem to us. But what's the function of the law? Because of the law, we can recognize what's wrong. For example, because of covetousness, first time, disciples said, I didn't know covetousness is wrong. It's simple. So how can I know covetousness is simple? Because God's law said, you shall not covet. Because of that, I can know covetousness is a simple answer. Also, Galatians chapter 8, verse 24, therefore, the law was our tutor. Our tutor, like an elementary teacher, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So, law is like an elementary teacher or tutor to bring us to Christ. How can bring us to Christ? Because of the law of God, I recognize by myself I am a sinner. I cannot save by myself at all. So therefore, I repent my sinfulness. I ask God's forgiveness. So therefore, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. So, that's why that law function is a tutor to bring us, all Christians, to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So finally, we could get the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because justifier, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So upon our faith, we can be justified by faith to be righteousness. John chapter 1 verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Because the law was given through Moses, that That's called Mosaic Law. There is a call or a Torah or a Pentateuch or a Pentateuch. So that the book of Genesis, book of Exodus, book of Leviticus, book of Numbers, book of Deuteronomy. So five books are called Mosaic Law, Torah, or Pentateuch. Their law through Moses, but Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, grace and truth. But today Jesus said, I did not come to destroy law, but to fulfill. What does it mean? I want to give you an example. The Bible moral law, for example, the Ten Commandments. For example, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. That's in the Old Testament, we can apply the word literally. If you did not kill somebody, you are not guilty for Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. That is a kind example of a moral law. But in the New Testament, through grace and truth interpretation, that is really focus on lawmaker's purpose, lawmaker's intention. Jesus explained Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Because Exodus, literally, if you do not kill somebody, you would be okay. That's a literal application. But Jesus came here to fulfill the law. If you are angry with your brother without cause, you are subject to that law too. So right here, and whoever says to his brother, Raka. Raka meaning a stone head or a bird head. Raka, that's a Hebrew word. Raka shall be in danger of the council. But whoever said, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Also, you are subject to God's punishment, in danger of hellfire. So, the Mosaic law, you shall not murder. There's a literal application. You do not murder, do not kill anybody. You would be okay. But the Jesus' interpretation totally different. If you have a hatred in mind against your brother, you are subjected to punishment. There's a more like a lawmaker, God's intention, God's purpose, love. Also, civil law. Civil law meaning the law applying to daily living. That's called civil law. One example, civil law, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. You shall not muzzle an ox while it trades out the grain. Now, this meaning ox are workers to tread the grain. So, Denmark, you shall not murder. Shall not murder meaning you put mask on ox mouth. So then an ox could not eat any the left grain. But that kind of literal application at that time is a farm country, most of that time. But this one is a lawmaker's intention, purpose in the New Testament, grace and truth application right here. The First Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. For the scripture says, Old Testament, or Mosaic law says, you shall not murder an ox while it treads out the grain. So ox trades out the grain, you shall not murder. You shall not put mask on the mouth of ox. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. So basically this is depression. The laborer is worthy of his wages. So ministers is working for God. So minister is has a right to receive the workers in the fruit. So like that. So this is a talking ways. Also ceremonial law. Ceremonial law in the Old Testament, a lot of ceremonial. like a peace offering or a burnt offering, trespass offering or a sin offering, lot of offering. So in order to make offering, they should bring livestock, cow, ox, or a lamb, without, you know, blemish. For example, Leviticus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, the best thing, best livestock. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of a meeting before the law. God specified the ritual application in Mosaic law. But the New Testament Torah different. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 27, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he, Jesus Christ, did once for all when he offered up himself. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself as a sacrifice, he was already offered for our sins. So, in the New Testament, in grace, we don't need in the Old Testament ceremonial rule to make offering in a particular way. We do not follow that. That is called New Testament interpretation. So, Jesus said, I come here not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. How? Jesus is fulfill his lawmaker's intention, lawmaker's purpose, God's purpose, rather than literal interpretation. So, that is grace and truth. That's why Jesus said, I came here not to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will never pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Jesus said all the word of God will be fulfilled. Every 100% will be fulfilled. Jesus said heavens and earth pass away. We can see in the book of Revelation, this heavens and earth certain day pass away. So new heaven, new earth shall come here. So until pass away, all the word of God will be fulfilled without any missing. Any missing. Without any missing, one job, one riddle, one tittle, everything fulfilled. Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments, God gave many commandments. If you break one of the least, if you did not keep a little word in all the Bible and teaches a man so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Basically, Jesus said, as a teacher, let teachers teach the whole counsel of God without missing any word. Who says so? Jesus asked teachers, who are teachers, like pastors, Bible Sunday school teacher, evangelists. So all teachers teach God's word, all of them, without missing any tilt or any jot, any tittle. So any missing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, remembering, without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Right here said, without seeing your work of faith. So if you have a faith, faith naturally produces your work. So how can we get faith? The Romans said, faith comes by hearing. First of all, you should hearing by the word of God. So, by hearing the word of God, your faith is growing in your heart. That faith naturally produces work. So, but Jesus right away, the teacher should work. Teacher should bring your obedience output works. Otherwise, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does and teach them, so whoever teaching and producing works, then he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus really asks each of you, you listen to the word of God, then you believe in the word of God, then you should produce by your faith. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means or never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Scribes is the writer, the copy, the Bible. Pharisees, he's trying the law keep. His whole life trying to get the law, obey law. But the problem is the scribes and Pharisees are trying whole life to keep the law literally. The problem is obey laws outwardly without allowing God to change their heart. What does it mean? Because the Pharisees and scribes, they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they do not have the Holy Spirit. Because the only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the words in you, then the Holy Spirit works through you. But they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Therefore, they are trying the law of God literally by their own efforts, not like the Holy Spirit work their law. So that's the problem. But the Pharisees, the point is that they want to show up outwardly. Without their own heart, they are keeping prayer publicly rather than prayer to God the Father in secret room. So also, they are offering money before the public, not like they are offering money to God secretly. Because that's the bottom line, they want to show up by themselves. That's outward righteousness. That's a problem. That's why Jesus Christ, this one, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, that righteousness hypocrisy, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says so. So, our righteousness coming from each own personal relationship with God against the outward righteousness or hypocrisy must, number one, come from what God does in us or what the Holy Spirit does in us, not what we can do by ourselves. Number two, our righteousness must be God-centered, not self-centered. Number three, our righteousness must be based on reverence for God, holy fear to God, not approval from people. So actually, we don't care human opinion rather than the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God always prevails over any human opinions. So, we should our righteousness should be based upon holy fear to God. The last one, go beyond keeping the law, literal keeping, to living by divine purposes in the literal law. So we are there in the divine purpose rather than we are seeking for God's purpose rather than literal application. So let's see each question right now. Question 1, what are the roles of salt applying to our Christian life? Salt function, number 1, perspective against rottenness. So likewise, we are Christian as we are perspective against rotten world. The second function, the salt is make a seasoning or tasteful, taste pleaser. Likewise, we as salt are useful less to the world. The last function is thirstiness. Salt cause thirstiness. So we as salt cause the people thirst for, let people thirst for righteousness. Let people thirst for Jesus Christ. Question 2. What does it mean that you are the light of the world? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Because you are light, naturally your light shall be revealed to the darkened world. So you should be light to the darkened world. You should be example to dark world. The last question, would you describe the inward righteous Christian life against the outward righteousness? That is, we should be God-centered, number one, God-centered. So our righteousness must come from what God does in us rather than what we can do by ourselves. Also, our righteousness must be based on holy fear for God, not approval from people. Last one, our righteousness is by the Holy Spirit for God's purpose rather than literal keeping the law. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer.